Birth Association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Good afternoon. This is Marin from IndieBirth, continuing our series of Taking Birth Back. Yet another episode, a variation on a topic we've covered already, prenatal care. This one is breaking tradition in prenatal care. The whys and hows. Why would we break tradition? How are we going to do that, and why? So if you've listened to the last couple of episodes, you can find them on iTunes if you haven't. I am obsessed with prenatal care right now, partly because I'm pregnant again and I'm giving lots of thought to my daily life and what this pregnancy means. But I'm obsessed with prenatal care on behalf of all of us, all women having babies, because it is just such a crucial time. Setting the foundation with how you behave and think and feel in your pregnancy affects not only your entire pregnancy, but your labor and your birth and your mothering for sure. Pregnancy is the beginning of the motherhood journey. So I won't say too much more about that. You can listen to the other podcasts about what is prenatal care and early pregnancy. Suffice to say that for right now, it's just because it is so important and it will affect generations to come. So that's my interest yet again. Slightly different take on it today. We have been talking about what I call self-sufficient care. And again, you can check those out on previous podcasts, but just to kind of recap for those of you that haven't heard them, self-sufficient care is something we do for ourselves when we're pregnant. And statistically, time-wise, you know, being with ourselves, that's the highest percentage of time in our pregnancy. We don't spend a lot of time, you know, if we're seeing a midwife or a doctor, we don't spend a lot of time seeing them, really, in the big picture over the course of a pregnancy. We spend the most time with ourselves, obviously, and the care that we do when we're home and when we're choosing what to eat or choosing other lifestyle choices, that's the majority of the care. That's what makes up a pregnancy. And therein lies the potential for a healthy pregnancy or perhaps an unhealthy pregnancy. So this undisturbed pregnancy care, which is another name for it, I certainly didn't invent the term undisturbed. It's applied a lot to birth, meaning that the physiological process is allowed to proceed without any intervention or interference from anybody or anything. So I've applied it to pregnancy to mean pretty much the same thing. A pregnancy left to the woman's own intuition and her turning inward instead of outward, looking to herself for answers, taking into account all of the information that she may have from the outside before she makes a choice. So again, this undisturbed pregnancy care or self-sufficient care or whatever you want to call it is definitely a departure from traditional prenatal care in this country. Now, this care that I speak of is not new, but it has been lost. So it is my belief that women have always had the ability and resources to turn within, especially when pregnant. For a lot of us, it's a time of heightened sensitivity and awareness. So this potential has always been there. And asking women nowadays to turn inward can seem really radical. But it's not. It's been lost. So this care is self-focused on nutrition, lifestyle, attention to our emotional and spiritual well-beings. It's the full spectrum of health and wellness in pregnancy. It's not just physical. It takes into account everything. Everything that we are as women and as humans and as pregnant people. So in addition to this self-care that I'm talking about, which I believe every woman has access to and should incorporate into her pregnancy experience, there is also medical care, which again is the traditional prenatal care in this country. And this is very much a seeking from the outside. That's just a fact. You may choose to do that as well as taking care of yourself, and that may be the perfect combination for you. But this care is coming from the outside, meaning that someone else is looking in at you and your body and your baby and giving their thoughts and opinions, which again, sometimes may be welcome. Sometimes may not be welcome. This includes testing. So that's, you know, that's the medical end of the spectrum. Of course, prenatal care is a spectrum. So from self-care on one end to purely traditional medical care on the other end, then in the middle, we have all kinds of combinations. We have midwives that are really more like friends to women. We have women that actually, you know, incorporate their friends and their family into their prenatal care, or just look to their partner or friend for emotional support. So prenatal care is such a limiting term when it can mean so many things. So I find it interesting and very encouraging that pregnant women are identifying with this new idea. Of course, it's not new, but maybe new in this day and age, this idea that they can participate. You know, it's okay. It's okay to accept responsibility. In fact, that's preferable. And your participation is just so necessary. And therein lies the true power, in my opinion. This is where women find themselves and sometimes their true strength, their true power, their true meaning in life occasionally. It's a very powerful responsibility to take on when you're pregnant, to accept responsibility for your health and your baby's health and well-being. So this is breaking tradition, this care, this self-care, even if it's not new, even if we're kind of bringing this back from the past, it's breaking tradition, which I love to do personally. It's a passion of mine, really, to take things in the birth world particularly and really examine them and say, how could we do it better? How could we improve upon this? And let's be honest about what's working and what's not, because we're the ones that will receive the benefits, you know, or the not benefits, really, of keeping a tradition that isn't working. So that's kind of the focus of today. It's taken me that long to get to the point, but I want to share with you today more about why and how we break tradition with prenatal care. The previous podcasts have been, you know, very heart-centered, I think, which is very much who I am at times. But then there are other times where, you know, engaging your mental brain is great and people want facts. And that's wonderful because, you know, we have lots of ways of backing up what we know to be true. So I question everything, as I've told you, especially in birth. And even though I firmly believe in this idea of self-sufficient care, and I believe that every woman is capable and should incorporate it, I realize that that's not where we collectively are at. So I want to look more into the detail and history of prenatal care so that I could share it with you. I want to collectively, with you, shatter some myths about prenatal care. And again, this can be done in so many areas of birth. If we really look into them, we can begin to dispel myths. And for those of you that are doing your own self-sufficient care, whether or not you're seeing somebody on the outside, doctor, midwife, sort of doesn't matter. But, you know, if you are doing your own care and perhaps not seeing a medical professional or a practitioner, then you may recognize the value in what I'm going to share even more And it's something that you can share with other women and with your family. And, you know, even with well-meaning professionals that try to convince you that their way is the way to go. So our system in birth, you know, birth in this country, in the U.S., we need to question it. And we need to start here. We need to start with the prenatal period. It is not working. Prenatal care in this country is not working, and that's a fact. And I'm talking again about traditional prenatal care. Traditions, you know, are time-honored practices that may or may not be based in reality in the current moment. Doesn't mean they didn't come out of something that was practical, but by nature, a tradition is something that is from the past. So let's not blindly honor tradition. The future of birth depends on us to question. Let's not perpetuate traditions in birth. Let's not perpetuate this idea of prenatal care being the standard and being, you know, really important. When the paradigm is changing, we are changing as women, as people. We are becoming more self-empowered. We are questioning. We are discovering what is best for ourselves and our babies. And we are not as open to criticism as perhaps we were generations ago. I am always looking for the better, something better, that better serves my needs, better serves your needs, and where we are at. So, you know, self-care and pregnancy and medical prenatal care, that's kind of what we're comparing today. Now, in previous podcasts, again, I've gone into more depth from a heart-centered angle, meaning encouraging and inspiring you to turn inward, to pass this on to other women. You know, it may be a hippie concept to some of you. I know it is to many of the practitioners that have taken a listen. But really, think about it. Taking responsibility, taking care of your body, choosing your support during a very influential and intimate time in your life, choosing your social support. These are not hippie ideas. These are responsible, taking care of yourself ideas. And these ideas are already making a difference to women. You know, and it has nothing to do with me talking about it. Women are already on this path. I'm simply bringing it to the attention of more women. But this is what's starting to work for women, whereas typical traditional pregnancy care is not. So we could even go so far as to say that traditional pregnancy care, prenatal care, is doing more harm than good. And I'll get into some more specifics based on research that will give an idea, excuse me. But despite research, you know, typical prenatal care is not allowing or encouraging women to take responsibility. In fact, it is pretty much removing that as an option. There is little to no education, which is how childbirth education classes got started, because this wasn't being included in traditional prenatal care, and women wanted to change that. Traditional care doesn't include support or counseling other than, you know, identifying some risk factors for lifestyle choices or those kind of things. So we could say that that is the case, that it's doing more harm than good. And so for all of you that have, again, family or friends questioning your choice to turn inward or to not consult a medical professional when you're a low-risk, healthy person, this is evidence for you. And, you know, the question always begs to be turned on people that ask those kind of things anyway. You know, what proof do you have that traditional prenatal care is all that you say it is? Tell me why that's so beneficial. And show me any research or otherwise that, you know, this self-care is not a good idea or is, you know, causing harm to mothers or babies. Of course, that's not there either, but that's because, well, A, it's not going to be true with the women that choose it, and B, there will never be research, most likely, on such a thing. So let's stop this insanity of practicing, you know, of practices that are continued for no good reason, and the brainwashing that we're programmed into from day one of being pregnant, that this is the way you do it. And if you don't, you put your baby and yourself at risk. That is just not true. And I've had emails already and comments already from medical professionals that beg me to change my stance because they feel that the lack of them being involved in your care means danger. And I just strongly disagree, and I will continue to disagree. And today I will share with you exactly why. Right, because at no time did I ever suggest that doing self-sufficient care, turning inward, was equivalent to no care at all. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. But of course, those that are medical professionals do equate those two things. So, oh, you're not seeing a doctor or a midwife? Oh, you're not getting any care. Well, that's insane. A woman is perfectly capable of providing her own self-care and, again, inviting into her circle partners, friends, who she wants, and getting the social and emotional support that she needs. So that is definitely not no care. But medical care is separate from self-care. But medical care is the standard in this country. And, you know, already that's just the premise that prenatal care has been built on in this country. So it is prenatal care in this country. We kind of can't argue with that. That's where we're at. But is it effective for low-risk women, for low-risk healthy women? Is this effective? That is the question. Because I personally am tired of being told how great it is and how important it is and how irresponsible those of us that don't choose it are, when there is absolutely nothing to back that up. The medical world in general, does not place value on consulting yourself first. They want to be consulted first. They do not place value on turning inward, and there is only one way, and that is confirmation from the outside, whether it's by another person or by a number or by a result. That is where we're at. So self-care is not no care. And therefore, the implication that it's dangerous or irresponsible is ludicrous. But think about it. It's going to change the paradigm of birth. It already is. So those that believe this, that remain in the old way of thinking, the old paradigm, are essentially out of a job. And that's a big deal. It's not just a job for many, just as mine is not a job. You know, it's very much an identity at times. So it's a very big threat for anybody to admit that perhaps what we've been doing is not working. So here's a little history of prenatal care. Traditional prenatal care came about a century ago, and the primary purpose was to prevent complications from preeclampsia and prevent true eclampsia, which of course is the progression of preeclampsia. And that actually is still one of the main reasons for prenatal care today. It is to prevent pregnancy disease, of which preeclampsia is one of them. You know, identifying these women that have risk factors or are already in a disease process, it's a very small percentage of women, but that's definitely a purpose of prenatal care. So traditional, as I mentioned before, means based on custom or ritual, and that is exactly what prenatal care has come to be. There is no evidence of efficacy, meaning there is nothing to show that it is working or improving outcomes. More tests and routines have been added throughout the years, as you all know, right? Every couple years, there's something new. GBS probably being the latest. All kinds of genetic testing. There is no proof of efficacy with any, or I should say, a lot of these tests and routines. So they're adding things to the prenatal care routine, and it's not changing anything. It's not. Some examples of that are routine ultrasound, serum screening for genetic markers, and gestational diabetes testing. There is no proof that these are making life better or healthier for moms and babies, yet they are part of care and they are not going away. So a really interesting book that I have to read the entirety of is called Expecting Trouble: What Expectant Parents Should Know About Prenatal Care in America. The author is Strong, and it was written in 2000. So this quote from the book: "The objective of prenatal care is essentially the same throughout the industrialized world. Yet it is in the United States where care is provided with such high-tech flourish that pregnancy outcomes are among the worst. We spend more for it, provide more of it, and have intensified it more than any nation on earth. In return, our prematurity, low birth weight, and very low birth weight rates have accelerated." That is a direct quote from the book, so definitely check that out. Isn't that fascinating? Once you go digging for something that's been touted as truth for so long, and you find that it's false. Another quote from the book, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here: "If prenatal care were a drug, it would not be approved by the FDA for efficacy. It's not effective." And think about it. Those of you that have ever been through a typical traditional prenatal care appointment with a doctor, nurse, midwife, think about how ridiculous it can be if you've ever experienced it. There's no care before pregnancy, right? In this country in general, we kind of don't pay any attention to women until they're pregnant. You know, no concerns about their health or preconception lifestyle. And then when she gets pregnant, she signs up at the doctor, most likely, tons of paperwork, immediate ultrasounds, blood tests, you know, waiting in the waiting room for longer than you have an appointment for. You get about 15 minutes. And the goal of the practitioner is usually to get through what's on the sheet for today. So, you know, was this checked? Was this talked about? There's no attention to the parts of you that matter. There's little to no personal conversation or inquiries into what you've been eating or how you've been feeling or what your home life is like. So these important things are missed. And truly, with a 15-minute appointment, there is a very real possibility that an actual clinical concern or problem is missed. That's just a fact. There's not enough time and space for a lot of these practitioners to really give to women. There's no contact in between prenatal visits. So the schedule of seeing somebody every month, there's nothing in between unless you have a problem. There's no other women to hang out with in the waiting room and share experience with. You're not given any tools or resources for taking care of yourself between visits, which again is the highest percentage of time. So the facts are there. The scenario is there. We can understand why it isn't working. Those opposed to this idea of changing prenatal care, you know, whether it's self-sufficient care or not, there are many ways we can change what we're doing, and we'll get into that. But many say that the prenatal care improves outcomes. Again, that's not true, because the low birth weight rate and the preterm birth rate have increased in this country. The more visits we tack on to the prenatal care schedule, the worse things seem to get. So research has not shown traditional prenatal care in the U.S. to prevent birth defects, to prevent low birth weight again, or to affect maternal or infant morbidity. It has not been shown to do any of these things. There is some research that says, for example, you're more likely to give birth to a healthier baby when you start prenatal care earlier. Now, these are kind of sketchy studies, because they're not showing definite relationships. They're highlighting what we call selection bias. So in the case of having a healthier baby because you start prenatal care earlier, you know, is that true? Does A equal B? Because women who seek care earlier are generally more educated, generally have more money. And when she goes to term, when a woman goes to term, she will just naturally have more visits. right? So what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's more likely that she went to term, she has more visits, and because she went to term, her baby is better equipped for the world than a preterm baby, so the outcome is considered to be better. Plus, I want to pose the question to you, is it just about the outcome? Is it just about the healthy baby? Well, of course that's important. We know that. What woman does not want a healthy baby? There is absolutely nobody. Nobody. But as pregnant women that are conscious, we know it is about so much more. It's how we feel, how we are supported, if we have food to eat, if we're in a rocky relationship with our partner. These are the things that are going through our minds when we're pregnant. And these are the things that should be being addressed with competent care. So again, these studies aren't looking at any other issues, you know, any other satisfaction with the pregnancy or the care or the birth. So I think that's fascinating. I find it interesting that the World Health Organization has recommended a 4-visit prenatal schedule for low-risk, healthy women that have nothing concerning in their medical history, no evidence of pregnancy complications or health-related risk factors. They agree that there are, in quotes, excessive, unneeded, and unproven interventions that are being provided to women with normal pregnancies. And they're, of course, referring to typical, traditional prenatal care. It's excessive for women that are healthy. So the 4-visit schedule consists of an initial intake and then screening in the next few visits for STIs, sexually transmitted infections, anemia, preeclampsia, as discussed before, as being one of the few reasons for medical prenatal care, counseling for Rh-negative women, recommendations for emergencies, talks about delivery, and counseling about some lifestyle choices, so cigarette smoke, alcohol, and HIV. So this 4-visit schedule is only focused on clinical and medical care, obviously. And one of the disadvantages here, as opposed to the midwifery model of care, would be that there really is a lack of, you know, personal care, counseling, a one-on-one connection, or any kind of connection, most likely, with only having 4 visits and having those visits pretty focused on what needs to be accomplished, medically speaking. So that's what the WHO thinks, as far as it applies to low-risk healthy women. So I think that's something interesting to consider. The schedule used in the U.S., as I've mentioned, for prenatal visits is about 13 to 14. It's more visits than most other countries recommend, and yet our infant mortality rate lags behind. So, you know, the question is being posed yet again, that if traditional prenatal care, as we know it, is so important and so effective, and it's so dangerous for one not to be receiving it, then why do we have such high rates of low birth weight and premature birth in this country? Just doesn't add up. Something missing. What will never be studied, really, in this small subsection of healthy women that choose to never see a professional for care in this country are, you know, what their outcomes are. And of course, I can't say, I've not done a study, but anecdotally, having been one of those women, being one of those women, and knowing many women like myself who choose not to see a professional, you know, I'd say anecdotally that the outcomes are very healthy and positive. That, you know, the intention to not see somebody doesn't mean that there's no care going on, as we discussed. In fact, it's quite the opposite. So we may interview some women here on Indie Birth that have chosen this route and see what they have to say about it. I think that will be an interesting experiment. So the bottom line is that it may not be accepted in mainstream world and, you know, by doctors and even most midwives, but it's really a valid option. for women that have had healthy pregnancies, especially already, or, you know, any woman that chooses, because she feels herself to be healthy and in tune with her body, to decide to take responsibility for her care and opt out of what's considered traditional prenatal care, traditional medical care. This is the truth. And we must choose to believe that for most of us, pregnancy is a healthy state. It's not a diseased condition. We're not sick, and we do not require medical care. This is the truth as well. So when we choose to take responsibility for ourselves and our babies, you know, we turn inwards often, as we've talked about. And this turning inwards, you know, is beneficial in many ways, but it can also help alert us when something isn't right. So when we're choosing to take responsibility or do our own care or not do the traditional thing, you know, it doesn't mean that everything is always perfect. Sometimes, you know, a pregnancy doesn't stay healthy, or there's just something to know or something to take care of. And I really do believe that women that are in tune with the process and themselves will know that something is going on, even if they're not quite sure what it is. So that's yet another benefit of turning inwards, is that we can alert ourselves when we may need to seek medical care. We do not need medical care in pregnancy unless we choose it or want it or need it. And as I've been saying, it has not been proven to be very useful for low-risk women. It's an overkill kind of situation, and it's costing lots of money in this country without the outcomes to back it up. I believe that it is possible for women to assess their own risk factors quite well. And again, when in doubt or unsure, they can seek outside help. But I always find it a little bit offensive, I suppose, when, you know, it's people act like you need to go see a doctor when you're pregnant to rule out such things, you know, an STI, for example. I feel pretty confident that I would be able to know if something was going on with my body, especially in that regard. And, you know, not everybody is the same, but for many women, they really can assess their own risk factors. You know, it's not that hard. Assessing other people's risk factors might be a different matter, but assessing your own is often, you know, not as complicated, and you don't always need an outside person to help you do that. So a couple options, if we're talking about different ways of doing prenatal care. We've obviously already talked about women that choose to either do their own care or, you know, totally opt out of medical care altogether and choose to just receive emotional support from their friends or partners or community. Another model is the centering pregnancy model, and that's kind of a trademarked term there. 1994, a CNM by the name of Sharon Schindler Rising came up with this centering pregnancy model, which is essentially group prenatal care that women do on each other. So a CNM, for example, may kind of be the ringleader, you know, with all of her clients or patients or whatever she calls them. And, you know, in the beginning, each woman would get a one-on-one visit to assess history and that kind of thing. And then once all the women have had their initial visit, and if they're due, you know, in the same probably year or 9 to 10 months, then they meet in a group. And the women do care on each other, so measure each other's bellies and that kind of thing. This is revolutionary for the medical world. You know, again, none of this is revolutionary in the span of time. And the fact that women have always helped each other and been in community for life events, and birth, pregnancy and birth definitely are included. But for the medical world, this really is revolutionary. The one-on-one care was found to be too much repetition for the CNM that came up with this model. She wanted to focus on family care. So this is called family-focused care, which again isn't revolutionary, but is in the medical world, to think of having women interact with each other and to think of the care provider not being the main attraction, the main source of attention. You know, instead, the women kind of would talk amongst each other and talk about their fears and share stories. At least that's my impression of it. And group interaction. It's virtually unheard of nowadays with pregnant women, and especially when we're talking about prenatal care. So, again, this was radical in the medical world. It's not being widely used. This was 1994, and I've certainly heard of it, and I know of a couple CNMs, or I kind of see mention of the centering pregnancy model around occasionally, but it's definitely not become a huge thing. It's new still to the medical world, and I think pretty scary and unfamiliar, you know, to take the care provider out of that central role and to give the women and the families the power in their care, which I think is why this is so revolutionary, because that's what I think women want. You know, they want to get that back. They want to be able to make decisions within their family and their community. And a model such as this is enabling to do that. Another thing about the centering pregnancy model, probably why it's not super popular, is, you know, there's a training module or modules for anybody that's going to lead this sort of group, which I understand. But on the other hand, I don't think it takes a whole lot, especially as a midwife, to know how to be with a group of women and just kind of let them go. You know, you don't have to be a midwife, I don't think, to run a group like this either. You can be a pregnant mom that wants to get all her friends together and practice on each other and share fears and birth stories and, you know, what ifs and excitements. So needing to be trained in this model is probably one aspect of keeping it from being very widely used. So consider that idea for sure if you do support women. I feel like it's such a gift to have access to this information and to hear about what other people are doing so we can question what we've already done and where we're going in the future and how to improve. And if we're walking with women, you know, these different models that we might be able to use in our communities. I appreciate the one-on-one prenatal care, you know, and I'm not thinking that that's medical care per se, but just the one-on-one, getting to know somebody, you know, hearing about their life, hearing about their triumphs and their fears, and building a relationship so that by the time the birth rolls around, everybody's comfortable in a personal way and feels safe being with each other. That's a definite bonus in that sort of prenatal care. But thinking about other models and the group model, the family-centered model, is an absolutely great one. And again, if we're walking with women, we don't need to be front and center. You know, these women can do this on their own. They can get together. Or we can help get them together and sort of lead them, but really give them freedom in taking back their authority with their prenatal care and with their pregnancies. So I've personally done the group thing in my community, and it works amazingly well. The women are truly bonded, you know, during pregnancy and most amazingly after, for years to come as their babies grow up together. And yeah, I've seen the exact same thing that the centering pregnancy model, you know, reports have shown, which is the family-focused care is really beneficial, and that women support each other. And that, you know, when they're low risk and healthy anyway, this is the care they're looking for, as opposed to the overkill medical care. So along the same lines, I've probably attended thousands of prenatal visits in my time walking with women. And I've always done the typical schedule, to be honest. That's the way I was taught. And, you know, that means every month for the first 28 weeks, and then every 2 weeks, and then every week towards the last month, and then sometimes every day if the woman were to go above and beyond her due date. So thousands of prenatals, and I can say again that I have really appreciated the one-on-one relationship, and I think many women do as well. So it may not be something that needs to be completely given up, and women should certainly have a choice in what their preference is. Some women are just better one-on-one and they feel safer and like they can really share, and some prefer a group of their peers. So I think we just have to learn the balance of what women are requiring and how involved we are. But for me, doing the thousands of prenatals and again working with really healthy women, I don't think there's been a time, maybe once or twice, where, you know, there was something truly medical that needed to be identified that I was solely responsible for identifying. Not to say that nothing has ever come up, but I've found that in most cases, the women were in tune and more in tune because it was their body and their baby. And even if they didn't know exactly what, you know, maybe there was a suspicion of something, something not being quite right or not feeling quite right or something like that. So that's pretty anecdotal, and midwives much more experienced than myself, I'm sure, certainly do have some reports of, you know, truly identifying a medical risk factor during a totally normal average midwife prenatal. But again, I think it's pretty odd. I think if we were able to calculate statistics, we'd see that, yes, it certainly does come up here and there. Pregnancy and birth are not perfect, you know, not for everybody. And, you know, once in a while things come up. But in general, the counseling and one-to-one and the inquiring about someone's health and lifestyle, those are the important parts of the prenatal care we're referring to. That the medical screening and complications are just so rare in low-risk healthy women. So, in any case, again, we can choose what works best for us, you know, when we're the pregnant mom, what works best. Do you like being one-on-one with someone and having that relationship? Do you prefer medical care with very little of the intimate relationship? Do you prefer just having your loved ones involved and really just being supported in your day-to-day life as a pregnant woman? Or, you know, and or do you want to be involved with your community and other pregnant women and share that way? Another option, or another story, I suppose, is an interesting one. Michel Odant, so he's the pretty famous French obstetrician, still alive, pretty cool guy, you know, he's a doctor. He has a birth center, or had a birth center, and they found at the birth center that they were seeing better outcomes when the childbirth education class they had there sort of morphed into a sing-along potluck dinner. So better outcomes, meaning more babies at term, babies born vaginally, you know, quicker, less traumatic births. When the parents took the reins for their care and they turned an educational class into a social get-together, they were, you know, given that opportunity, and that's what they wanted. That's what these people wanted. And I think it's really cool that the birth center, and Michel Odant, as cool as he is a doctor. And he, of course, was able to acknowledge that there was a relationship, in his opinion, you know, between this social aspect of care in women's lives and families' lives and better outcomes in birth. So, again, none of this is rocket science. It's just sometimes having stories and having some proof gives us the confidence we need. So those are some ideas for you. Any of these can probably be done as informally or formally among women, you know, among the women themselves as they wanted to. And again, women can get together in these kind of groups and figure it out as they go. Just get together socially, get together with their families and have potlucks. Maybe have a reading discussion of a birth-related book, or learn to measure each other's bellies, or whatever it is. This is truly how we learn, and for many of us, this is how we take responsibility for our health and connect with other women at the same point. To wrap it up today, the point, which I hope you've gathered, is that traditional medical care in this country is not working.
the powers that be, the medical world, in a general sense, are not wanting to examine this problem, and perhaps to them it isn't even a problem. However, I hope I've offered you some different perspectives and options, which I think take care of a lot of the alleged problem, which is that women are not confident in self-care. They're not quite sure if that's okay, or how to go about doing it, or what it means, or how to deal with reactions from others regarding doing self-care or avoiding medical care altogether in pregnancy. We can all help change this. We can dispel these myths about what prenatal care is and why or if it's needed. Is it needed? What sort is needed? We can talk loudly, write loudly, tell every pregnant woman we meet about these different options in prenatal care, the spectrum, if you will, and what matters. So that which we do for ourselves, or that which involves our community or our loved ones, these are real options. We can speak the truth about prenatal care, about pregnancy care, not just because we believe it, or because it's our opinion or our preference, but because it's actually true. This element of pregnancy care, needs to be overhauled, in my opinion. So let's redo it. Let's start over. It starts with us, the women. Whether we've had babies before, or are pregnant, or will become pregnant, or walk with women, or educate women, we can change this. Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you've received some interesting information and inspiration. I do have many interesting resources I use for this podcast, so if you're interested in those at all, please email me, Marin@IndieBirth.com, or go to the IndieBirth website and look there for contact info. Please pass these podcasts along and know you can sign up on iTunes to receive notification of our podcasts. We would very much appreciate that, spreading the word, both via the podcasts and our blog posts, and just when you're out talking to women, you can do just the same. Thanks so much. Have a great day.